Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Nixon, and we're in a special series where we're talking about Windows Phone 8, going through the Teams and talking about some of the coolest functionality. Today, we're going to be talking about the Proximity API, and I'm here with Tim Laverty. Tim, thanks for being on the show.
Great, thanks.
Now, Tim, before we start talking about the Proximity API, let's take just a second, and who are you?
So I'm a program manager on the Windows Phone developer platform team.
Okay, what does that mean?
We build the platform, or the SDK, that developers use to build apps for Windows Phone.
Okay, brilliant. All right, so today we're going to talk specifically about the Proximity API. Let's pretend I don't know what the Proximity API is. What's the Proximity API?
So the Proximity API is, it's the Windows networking proximity namespace. Okay. And it wraps your NFC or near field communication and Bluetooth API surfaces. So if you want to get access to Bluetooth or NFC, you use stuff inside of the proximity namespace.
Okay. Where does that namespace start off? Is it Windows dot? Is it a WinRT namespace?
Yeah, it's a WinRT namespace. It's Windows.networking.proximity.
I got it. So if I'm writing an app, a game or something else, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to integrate NFC into my app, I'm right there. Windows.networking.proximity.NFC?
Yep. Well, it's okay. Not NFC. It's actually the Peerfinder API, but yeah.
Peerfinder. Same thing with Bluetooth is the Peerfinder as well.
Right.
All right, so proximity is just our umbrella term for those two technologies. Let's start with NFC. It's believable there's a handful of developers out there who have heard of NFC and haven't seen the commercials, and they're wondering, what in the world is all this talk about? If you were going to describe NFC, how would you start?
So I usually think of NFC as it's a way to make a connection between two devices, or a way to pull data off of a static device, like a sticker, by tapping your phone or your device to your target. So say you and I wanted to share contact info.
Yeah.
We could tap our phones together and share that contact info with basically a tap. In your phone, inside of your settings, it's actually called tap and send, is what you enable or disable in your settings.
How hard of a tap does it require, Tim? Do you just smack
them? You actually don't have to touch them. It's the range of the NFC radio that's on the device. It's between 2 and 4 centimeters, I think. So you just get the devices really close. So if we wanted to share pictures or contact info, et cetera, basically establish a socket connection, then we just get the devices really close.
Okay, so if I walk up to a poster, a movie poster, and I see the little NFC box there, I go up, basically touch it as close as I can, right? And I get within whatever the range is, and it hands me, what is happening? Is it a lot like my smart card when I walk into a building?
I'm not sure what it's like. I don't know how smart card protocol works well enough.
Okay.
I know here what it's doing is that NFC radio is actually creating, or it's exchanging a very small bit of data, and then it's allowing you to pull a socket connection off of or between you and whoever that other device is. So with the sticker, it's just reading the data off. If it was another phone and say you and I were trying to talk, it'll actually create a socket connection between the two over RFCOM and let us do more stuff, play games, etc.
Okay, so that socket is the next step. So the NFC is just the initial greet, because when I do a tap and send and I'm sharing a photo with somebody, I don't have to keep it within 2 centimeters with them, right? I can walk around the room all of a sudden, I can see its transfer, what's going on. So what's that process?
You know, what's happening is the NFC radios get close to each other, they establish a connection and can exchange a small amount of data. So I'm not sure if contacts requires Bluetooth or not, or require Bluetooth RFCOM or not, but like your photos example does. So what happens is NFC basically exchanges that connectivity info between the two devices, gives you a stream socket, a WinRT stream socket, that then lets you pass that data back and forth. It's bidirectional.
And from that point forward, it's Bluetooth that's talking to each
other. Exactly, which then your range is like, you know, up to 100 meters, depending on, you know, how good the Bluetooth hardware is.
Unless you're in a bomb shelter or something like that, it could
happen. Fair.
Yeah, so, all right, so that initial, when I'm doing a photo photos trade like that tap and send, then that first NFC connection is basically doing the quick pairing for me, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you were saying you don't use Bluetooth for contact. Is that because the payload is so small?
I'm not sure if you use it for contacts or not, but it's probably small enough that it would fit into NFC, yeah.
Or
stream across with just NFC, yeah.
So smaller payloads don't need to go through that extra step of...
Right, create the socket, yeah, yep.
I got it. All right, so we've got a lot of things here we're talking about. We're talking about NFC, you were talking about RFCOM, you were talking about sockets, we're talking about... All right, so we're talking about NFC, we got the gist. Now we're over to Bluetooth. We've all connected our headsets, we've all connected our cars. From a developer's point of view, what's their access to the Bluetooth stack on Windows Phone?
So access to Bluetooth is through the same proximity namespace. You access Bluetooth using the Peerfinder API. You can use Bluetooth from both phone to phone, like we were just talking about, say sharing photos. You can also use Bluetooth from phone to device. So you can use it to access devices, say like this. I have a Ferrari car here that works over Bluetooth and RFCOM. If you've seen like most...
Wait, what are you talking about? I can remote control that car with my phone?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've probably also seen demos of a little Sphero ball. I don't have one in my office right now, but a little Sphero ball is like, well, some people say it's like a cat toy. It's a ball that you control using...
It's a $100 cat toy, just to be clear.
Fair. Yeah. You can remote control Sphero balls. I have my son and I built a Lego Mindstorm Next car, like a robot. And there's a RFCOM protocol to Mindstorm kits as well that you can control with your phone. So both phone to phone for Bluetooth and phone to device, like phone to this car and Sphero, etc.
My Windows desktop could be a device as well. I could connect by Bluetooth to it and have some sort of two apps talking to each other through that.
I think you could. I haven't tried it. I think it would be very interesting to look at. Like, I have a tic-tac-toe game that you play from phone to phone. That's kind of usually my canonical demo of you tap to connect the two phones, and then you play a game over sockets, over Bluetooth or RFCOM sockets with tic-tac-toe. But I imagine you probably could do the same from phone to PC. I haven't done it, though.
Now, so we talked about NFC. We talked about Bluetooth. And I know Windows 8 developers also think about Wi-Fi Direct. Wi-Fi Direct on Windows Phone?
Wi-Fi Direct is not supported on Windows Phone 8.
Yet?
Well, I don't know yet. Yeah, not yet.
Okay. All right, so here I am. I'm ready to build my... Games are a great one. Remote control in a car, talking to a real car, right? I could do that, too, if the APIs are there and let me do it. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
There's Bluetooth connectivity to the car, yep.
Yeah, for sure. Now, let's back up. You said, okay, they'll all use the Peerfinder. I don't know what the Peerfinder is. So give me what is Peerfinder? Is that just another name or is that an actual thing?
No, Peerfinder is a class, and it's your primary way of getting access to the Bluetooth API surface and NFC API surface underneath the proximity namespace. So it's a static class that is a WinRT class.
And is it broadcasting then so I can find all my peers within a certain area if I'm using Bluetooth, or how does it work?
Yeah, if you looked at it in, say, Object Explorer, you'd see APIs on it like, allow Bluetooth, allow Wi-Fi. You'd see things on it like find all peers async. So it would go out and try to find all peers and you can obviously go out and find them and then filter them based off of link queries and so on. They come back as IEnumerables.
If I'm a developer and I want to use NFC, it's a WinRT API, so it only works in Windows Phone 8 on, right? And so I'm not worried about older phones that may not have NFC. From this point forward, all phones will have NFC. That's the plan?
That is correct at this point as far as I know, yeah.
Okay, so I don't have to sniff for it is what I mean. But Bluetooth, right. On the other hand,
yeah,
the user could have manually turned it off.
Yeah, all Windows Phone 8 devices have NFC radios in them and support Bluetooth as well, yeah.
Okay, so how can I just wrote a game. It uses Bluetooth. It's a beautiful game, of course. What kind of logic do I have to put in to say to detect if Bluetooth is enabled or disabled by the user?
So you can use some of the setters launchings or some of the Like there are settings launcher checks to either launch the settings UI and check whether Bluetooth is on or off.
I see. And then I can just run with it once I determine that it's on.
Yeah.
Nice. And then
obviously the API would throw if it's not on as well.
Yeah. If I were conflicted, well, let me ask, is there a way to conflict if the user currently has their earphone or the headset paired to their device or their car or whatever, and I want to use that as a game? Is that allowed as well as only one user of the Bluetooth stack here?
I don't think so. I think that you could connect, to both. I haven't tried to use, say, like headphones paired through Bluetooth and then connected over Bluetooth to another device, but I think you could probably use both at the same time. I have to double check.
Okay. We'll make sure that link's at the bottom of the page so users can find out. Let's see. If I'm using Bluetooth, and I want to impress you, right? I want you to look back and say, in the store, you have a Windows phone, right? You're carrying one as a...
Of course.
What's a good implementation? You're like, awesome. I mean, the tic-tac-toe is great, but what's some you're seeing? Hey, they're using the ProxMD API. That's cool.
I think some of the cool things that I've seen are the Sphero Ball, I think, is a really cool demo because, I mean, I have an app where the Sphero is hooked up to the phone and you control the Sphero by tilting the phone. So it's hooked up to sensors and then pushing the Sphero forward or left or right as you tilt it. Yeah. That's really cool. NextCar is similar to that. You know, you're walking this robot around. You build robots that fight with each other and such.
Yeah.
I think a non-game or non-device scenario is Nokia's Michelin Guide is also very cool. So this is like a really easy way. You can picture walking up to a restaurant, scanning a tag that's in the restaurant window and getting a Michelin Guide review for whether it's a great restaurant or et cetera. So each of those are, I think, really cool.
Or driving your car, like James Bond in his trunk. Remember that one where he was driving his car with his phone? We could probably pull that off, too. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in the trunk while I'm trying it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so my device, I'm using it. Some of the things we were talking about, I want to kind of back up to those. I know that developers ask a lot about it, and so we were talking a little bit around sockets. Give me the info on sockets.
So the socket API is separate, but works well with the Proximity API or Peer Finder API. You can find sockets under windows.networking.sockets. You'll see a Stream Socket API there and a Datagram Socket API there. Stream Socket gives you TCP access, and Datagram Socket is UDP access. So they work well, or it works well with the Proximity API, specifically Bluetooth and NFC, is that you make a connection and then what you will get out of the state machine for NFC is a stream socket. And then you use that stream socket just like you would any other TCP socket.
Makes sense to me. We had briefly mentioned RFCOM. I know developers ask about RFCOM as well. What's the story there?
So RFCOM is supported on Windows Phone 8. That is the protocol, or that is the socket that you'll get out of Bluetooth or get out of an NFC connection. Some people ask whether we support SPP. SPP is basically a wrapper on top of RFCOM. The Mindstorm actually uses an SPP implementation, and in the sample code that is up on MSDN, you can see in the sample code that I uploaded the SPP implementation that we wrote for the Mindstorm.
People ask about SPP. The answer is yeah, it's pretty good. Let me ask you about the process. So a developer is ready to build an app like this. What do they think about? Here are the five things, right? You're going to have to do this, then you can do this, and just walk them through so they can, begin their MSDN research, basically, right?
So the things that I would recommend looking at would be, first, I would probably review the docs around the windows.networking.proximity namespace, just so you're familiar with what capabilities NFC offers versus Bluetooth. You can look at the bandwidth limitations of each. I would also recommend looking at windows.networking.sockets, so you're familiar with the basics of stream socket and datagram socket as well. There's a build talk that I did last year that kind of walks through the basics of each of these that is probably a good place. It's about a 40-minute talk, and you can skip around in it and look. It's up on Channel 9. And there's also...
make sure there's a link to it just to make...
Great.
Keep going. Keep going, though. Yeah, that's great.
There's also a parallel set of samples that you use or that you can use that I uploaded basically what I showed in the talk. So it shows the next car. It has, I think that the Sphero sample is in there. If not, the next car is very similar to it.
Yeah.
It shows use of sockets. So it shows WinRT sockets. It shows WinSock. It shows the Windows Phone 7 system.net APIs as well. In terms of the code that you write, it's different for Bluetooth and for NFC, but once you wrap your head around it, the state machines are pretty simple. Like, you're basically putting these phones together for NFC in this case, and it's running through this state machine of saying, hey, I found someone, and I forgot what the exact state machine is. Basically, like, hey, I found someone, and then it's giving you status updates or callbacks for I found someone, and then I'm listening, I'm connecting, and then it'll give you a successful, and with that successful, you can pull a socket out of the args that come in. Or, of course, it'll fail, and it'll tell you why.
Yeah. And then you can interrogate it in case you mistakenly connect with two people in some random weird situation. You can figure out if it's the right data coming across.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. I am a developer. I just wrote an app that's a lot like your car app, but it controls a helicopter, right? We saw that at the last build demo too, right? That's pretty sweet. The helicopter's up in the air, about to do a trick, and I get a phone call. What happens next?
That's funny. So that particular helicopter is a Parrot quadcopter that you saw.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually use proximity. It uses Wi-Fi to connect to it. What would actually happen would be, it depends if you took the phone call. So let's say you took it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Your process that has the socket connection open to that helicopter would basically get frozen. So and it probably depends on the app developer, when in that particular app, when suspend is called, so the phone is saying, hey, like, you should suspend this app because Chris is going to go talk on the phone, what would happen is in that particular app, I tell the helicopter to land. That's what happens. If I didn't, if I didn't, then what would happen is the device would just sit there hovering in air because no one's telling it to do anything. That's what would happen.
Got it. All right. So there's not a, because I know with the location API, once you get it going, you know, it'll sit in the background for you if something like that obscures it. So once you have a socket running, that's not a special case, right? You don't own the phone there. You're still subject to the same life cycle as every other app.
Yeah, your socket exists in the foreground app's context. It's not sitting in some background agent or something automatically. When your app gets, goes into the background, you're responsible for, shutting that socket down, doing some last-minute cleanup, which sounds kind of scary with your helicopter 100 feet in the air.
Yeah.
But you're responsible for landing it.
Yeah. Did I mention it was $1 million helicopter? I wanted to make it even more interesting, right?
Awesome. Yeah,
I'd pull the SIM out. That's what I'd do. I'd pull the SIM out.
There you go.
Don't take the call. That's the best of all, right?
You probably should hit ignore. Yeah.
I got to call you back. The resume wouldn't be fast enough, especially if it was doing a loop at the time. It's upside down, so it's pressure.
It actually does a pretty good job of it will push you into the background if you're doing something else. And then when you come back to the process, that socket will still actually be open.
Okay, so you don't have to reestablish when you come back in.
No, you could just, unless it actually tombstones. Like, if you were suspended, it'd be fine. I think if it tombstones, it would actually shut the socket down.
Yeah, or if it causes a timeout on the other side, right? There's all kinds of...
It's totally possible. If there's a timeout set up on the socket, then, it's you're toast.
So I have NFC is a cool idea, right? Because I can buy those stickers for $1 each. I can have a worldwide scavenger hunt if I wanted to. Every time somebody comes with the phone, they go up to it, bling, and it shows them a URL, maybe a little bit of information. what all can I put in one of those NFC tags, right? Can I put more than a URL?
Yeah, so it depends on the tag. Like, there are some tags that have a differing amount of capacity, but they're all pretty small. It's also, like, something you also need to consider are some tags are rewritable and some are not. So, like, I have some tags that once you burn them, you can't burn them again. And then some tags, you know, you rewrite whatever you want in there.
It's like a CD versus a thumb drive. So do you have to have an NFC printer, or can your phone write to an NFC tag?
Your phone can write to an NFC tag. And in the samples that I have linked off of that Channel 9 networking talk, I do it in there. Like, there's an NFC writer. What will happen is the NFC radio gets close to the tag, makes that connection, and then you tell it, push that data across onto the tag, and it'll do it.
Nice. I've never seen an NFC on a desktop. Is that just because you don't carry a desktop around with you? I'm trying to think. It's kind of a, practically speaking, it's just a phone technology, isn't it? Or some sort of mobile technology.
Kind of think so. I can't think of the, I mean, I can think of cool scenarios like, I don't know, I guess you could walk up with your phone and scan it against a PC, but.
It's not. Open a magazine and exactly.
Yeah,
for developers who haven't seen an NFC tag, there's a similarity to QR codes, aren't there?
I think there's a similarity to QR codes, but I'm actually not sure what the technical differences are between them.
Yeah, well, for one, you don't have to use a camera, right? So if you're in the pitch black, it still works, huge bright sunlight, it still works as well. You don't have to keep them so clean. Okay, Tim, so I'm a developer. I'm using the Bluetooth stack, and I want to be a good developer citizen. I don't want to ruin the phone. I don't want to burn the battery. What's the best practice that you give developers when they're wanting to use it?
So I think that the API is pretty well designed along this line in that what you're typically using this API surface for is to establish that connection, or the first thing you're using for is establish that connection. So it probably naturally fits with your app. What you don't want to do is start that peer finder. I mean, this would really fall in part and parcel with your app design. What you're going to do as a developer is start the peer finder up, make the connection, pull the data out of it and use it, and then stop the peer finder. Or you're going to pull a socket off of it and then use the socket thereafter in your app.
Got it. Got it. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's the way that it's built that will keep you from burning the user. It's kind of how the whole Windows runtime is written, so that you don't lock up a machine, tie up all the resources, everything's asynchronous and kind of built with user first.
Yeah, I don't think that there are a lot of ways that you could really burn your user as long as your app's designed to use them well. I mean, these are the technologies here are really about establishing that connection.
Yeah.
Passing data across, or getting a socket to pass a lot of data across.
And accessing the proximity API is a capability I asked for in my manifest?
Yes, you do. Like, you need the proximity capability, and then you also need the networking capability turned on.
Okay. Gonna need both. Even for NFC?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
NFC, you pull a socket off of NFC, so it'll want both, I think.
Yeah. Now, Tim, there is a proximity API in Windows Phone, but there is also a proximity API in Windows 8. Mm-hmm. How similar are developers going to feel? You know, they're going to go back and forth, and how similar are those APIs?
So it is the actual exact same API. The capabilities of the API on either platform are very slightly different, but in terms of familiarity, like, are you going to be able to look at code written for Windows 8?
Yeah.
Look at code written for Windows Phone 8 and be able to read it and understand what it's doing. It's exact. It's the same bits. We use the same API design between the two. The differences from a capability perspective are Windows 8 doesn't allow you yet to connect from to devices like the Ferrari that I was showing earlier or the Sphero Ball that we were talking about, whereas Phone does. And then you asked a question earlier about Wi-Fi Direct support. So Windows Phone 8 does not support Wi-Fi Direct, whereas Windows does.
Okay, so Windows has Wi-Fi Direct. Windows Phone isn't Wi-Fi direct, and Windows 8 or Windows Phone has two devices, which is pretty cool, a lot of fun. And so if I have my Surface, I can Wi-Fi direct all over the place, but if I have my phone, I can start driving a car.
Yeah. Over Bluetooth. Yeah. Yep.
And there's probably an inevitable synergy coming, but you're saying the API where they do overlap are one-to-one.
Yeah, the API surface is the exact same API surface. It's Windows Networking Proximity Namespace. It's the PeerFinder class, which is the primary class that you're interacting with. The exact same socket API, the stream socket, datagram socket, etc.
Perfect. Okay, Tim, so for the API, I'm seeing it's broken up into those two pieces, specifically NFC and Bluetooth, and over those, it's that PeerFinder class that allows developers to basically turn on and start finding anybody nearby using either NFC or Bluetooth, whichever is right for their application, and then going over and having that communication, especially over Bluetooth, obviously, using sockets as well. That's the proximity API, right? Really enables a lot of creative apps to be in the store, right?
Yeah, it's a super cool new feature set for Windows Phone 8. It lets you connect phone to phone, phone to devices. You can use the NFC stickers that we were talking about. There's a whole host of new apps that the proximity, you know, proximity namespace, the PeerFinder class enables. I love playing with it. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. All right, Tim, thanks for being on the show. Developers who are watching this, you know, this is the sort of thing that really stirs the creativity pot, you know? You're like, now, oh, okay, two devices can talk to each other. I could talk to another thing, if not a phone. What could I do next? This is an exciting API to be part of. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for talking to me about it.
Great. Thank you very much.
We'll see you again.
All right, thanks.